We'll start off the show today by talking about a subject which has seemed to catch the gaze of our entire city of Belleville and communities afar as well, and that is the filling of the chair left vacant by the tragic death of former Councillor Patricia Culhane. This has become quite an issue here in the city. Of course, it has been an issue that we've discussed on the show, and I suppose we'll continue to discuss in the weeks to come. Yesterday, there was a news story from our competitors down the road at Starboard Communications talking about Councillor Kelly McCaw, who happens to be the chair of the ad hoc committee tasked with selecting the new candidate or a candidate for consideration. Kelly's comments basically said, and we'll talk to her about it, that a man might end up being in this position. But we have a lot to talk to Kelly about when it comes to the story, and Councillor Kelly McCaw joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Lauren.
Happy New Year to you and yours.
Oh, Happy New Year to you as well.
Okay, well, before we get into some of the meat here, tell us about where this committee is standing and what is going on as we move forward.
Okay, so as of today, the 6th of January was the deadline for submission for the actual appointment. The applications were received. The committee did meet just before Christmas. We made the decision that we would not view the applicants until all were in. As of yesterday afternoon, late afternoon, each, my understanding, each committee member received their package of applicants, along with what I would say a vetting process or a scoring process by which we would vet each candidate.
Do we know, Councillor McCaw, how many people applied for this position?
I do know how many people applied. I'm not, you know, I can give you a rough ballpark, but I'm not going to delve into who they are.
Well, clearly,
I agree to keep it confidential, and I think that's important. There are north of 10, so, you know, I'll say that at this point.
Some people might be saying, you know, you're keeping this confidential, but when somebody wants to be a candidate for an election, it's quite an open process. We know who those people are. We know that, you know, they put their names in. You have done it yourself, so we know immediately who is running for something. Why isn't this the same?
Well, Lauren, because we've seen an unprecedented amount of slander, bullying tactics against any woman who dares to apply. I've heard from some women who wanted to apply that they'd received phone calls, threats, slander, bullying. And at that point, I asked the clerk if that was something we could do, is keep the names confidential to avoid that type of unprecedented attack on some of these women.
Are you serious that people called potential candidates to threaten
yes,
them?
They did, and slander them, demean them. People received calls at their place of business, and I'm not going to get into who that was.
No, that's fine, but that's unbelievable.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this more, and with all this, I don't feel your show or you have helped that matter at all. And it's unfortunate. I don't think you intend sometimes to create that kind of fomenting of anger, but that's what happened. And there were a few people who were thought to be potential candidates who were contacted, both women. And, you know, these were some of the things that they dealt with. And as a result, I mean, they were attacked on social media and all sorts of different things. So at that point, the committee and I agreed that we would like to keep it confidential until such time as the applicant who the committee has, you know, decided to put forward, until that happens.
Well, Kelly, first of all, I would never, ever in a million years encourage anybody to bully anybody who wanted to put their name forward to something like this. I have been clear, and I think you know that I think this was totally the wrong way to go in this situation, as I think many people in our community do. But I would never, ever I mean, I am disgusted to hear that this has occurred, and I would never want this to go. I know there's a lot of people who listen to the show, but I mean, you could listen to every second that we've had this discussion. I would never go and say, and I think you know this, that you should contact people and belittle them or bully them or anything like that. I would never do that.
Well, I understand you haven't, but I think some of your reaction has inflamed this type of behavior. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't just span to applicants. It spanned to committee members as well.
Well,
I took enough of my own, and I don't mind, because that's my job, and I was asked to do this job, and I'm happy to do it. But I don't think that's fair that you have people in our community and well-respected individuals who have stepped forward and then have had to face this type of unprecedented attack.
So, I've never attacked anybody on the committee. I've given them props for being members of this, high qualified members of this community. So I've never personally attacked any of them. I respect each one of them.
Well, and I mean, you just asked me the question as to why it was kept confidential, sure. And that is why we're keeping it confidential.
Okay, and I understand that. I understand that, and I appreciate the explanation. And I think that this has exploded. Did you expect, Councillor McCaul, when this came out, when this subject came up, and nobody expected this to come up at all. I think if anybody was expecting anything, it would be down the road if an election was called and Councillor Williams would have to have stepped away. But I don't think anybody expected this at all. But did you expect this kind of reaction from the community for this particular subject?
Well, I knew there would be reaction, and I've had it on both sides, right? I've had it pro and I've had it against. But that's the nature of being a counselor. It's not just about this decision. It's about many decisions that we make. And some are favorable, some aren't. And I'm someone who chooses to make decisions that I feel are best from my perspective. And I don't consider how I vote in whether I'll ever be elected again. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that I do what I feel is right for me and what I feel is right for the community. So, you know what? I expect backlash. I expect backlash for every decision I make. So, to me, I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed at the level of some of the menial things people have said and done to some of the applicants and some of the committee members.
Well, I think that a lot of people in our community were just simply expecting what has happened in the past. And that was the promotion or the placing or the asking of Tyler Alsop to be in that seat. One of the issues that you had with him was that he put out a Facebook comment earlier in the year saying that he was not ready to run and he was done with it and so on and so forth. And you mentioned that in council. And then, he came out and said, hey, but I sent a letter that says, no, I've changed my mind. I'm ready. Why don't you think he is ready?
Okay, so first of all, it wasn't earlier in the year. It was a few months prior to what had happened with Councillor Culhane. And I'm always sort of someone that looks at or tries to notice what people are saying and doing when no one else is watching. And at that point in time, a few months prior, I consider that noticing what someone is truly saying when no one is watching. And, you know, and I don't know Tyler well, but I did meet him during the election, and I really like him. I have no issue with him at all. But I just feel at the time, based on that comment, I had concerns whether he would be able to, with his situation, be up to the task. Even though he may want to be up to the task, I really, at that point in time, made the decision that I need to do what I feel personally is best for the community. I don't take orders from anyone. I base my own decisions, and that was the decision that I made. It was different from what the others made, and I respect that. But I at least brought his name forward and put it on the floor so he would have the opportunity. Nobody else did that.
So one of the things that was brought up after the decision to not put Tyler in at council was to form an ad hoc committee. And of course, the mayor brought that up and basically said, one of the mandates of this committee was to look for somebody who is a female under the term of reference, special consideration. So it doesn't have to happen, but special consideration to be given to members of the public who identify as female or non-binary or representative of other elements of diversity in the community, sexual orientation, indigenous status, race, disability, whatever. And so I see an article yesterday on a reputable site, and it says that, well, it could be a guy. And then so the first thing that goes to everybody's mind, Kelly, is that, well, there was a guy and he wanted to do it. So kind of explain your thoughts if you can.
Okay, so we're not the old boys club here. We don't exclude anyone. And I certainly am not an exclusive person. So quite honestly, I didn't know at that point who the applicants were. When I did that telephone interview, it was earlier in the day yesterday. I have no idea who the people are. It could have been 35 men. I have no idea who it is. But we have a scoring system in place whereby nobody is excluded. So potentially each individual committee member will use their scoring system that was developed for this purpose, and they will come to their own idea based on each applicant where they fit in the scoring system. So it doesn't matter. I mean, some of it is based on some prior experience, like maybe you were a council member, you were given special consideration for that. Maybe you were a committee member on some committees, you see special consideration for that. So it's not that anybody is excluded. But what I was saying is that's the point. Nobody is excluded. It could be anyone.
In the scoring system, Councillor McCaw, do you lose points for having male genitalia?
No, you don't. You don't, actually. And it was quite nice to see. And I'm not going to get into who applied, but men did apply, and I applaud them. In fact, one contacted me and stated he was going to apply. And you know what? Good on him. He could see that this was not an exclusive process. He knew that he had the right to apply, and he did. And you know what? Again, I'm not an exclusive person. If it's going to come down to who is the right person, and each individual that sits on that committee is going to base their own opinion on how they feel based on the applicants and any submitted information they may have sent.
But with all due respect, I can go and try to get an audition for a Broadway play, but there's very little chance I'm going to get the role. So, you know, legally they'll let me put my name in, but I have zero chance. Isn't that kind of, with what the mayor has said, isn't that kind of what's going on with guys here for this particular seat?
You know what? It really is not. And I mean, I'm not sure if the scoring system or rubrics will ever come out, but really, I have to tell you that it is not. And I spent 5 hours going through some of these applications and trying to score them yesterday, and I'm not finished yet. And I'm, you know, it's based on a score. And to be honest with you, I can tell you that I believe some of these people, male or female, are going to score high. And, you know, again, we are not the old boys club.
So
we are including anyone.
And as it should be any time, and that's what we should be doing, try to encourage all sorts of members of our community to get into the process of wanting to be, whether they're on a committee or running for council or running for mayor, 100% behind that. I want this to be a rainbow coalition. I would love to see it happen. But, you know, I'm not sure if, you know, this is... I think what people are saying right now, Counselor, is that if this is so open, then why not promote the guy who, you know, and this is about points, a guy got almost 4,000 points.
Okay, so
you know what I mean? A guy.
I do, but let me explain, and let's go back to 2018 for a minute. We are not in 2018 right now. We're in 2020, and Councillor Culhane ran that in that election. If Councillor Culhane had never run in that election, the whole entire the whole and every single candidate would be affected differently.
But with respect, that's moot. That whole point is moot because
no, it's not.
That's
moot
what
because
happened.
Who's to say that if Councillor Culhane decided to continue to nursing up north and not run in 2018, that many of the women who have voted for her would not have turned around and voted for Miss Feeney or Miss Frances Muir. Nobody can say that. Nobody can say that one of those women may have ended up above other Alsop. I mean, quite frankly, you cannot base what people are doing today with what happened in 18, because quite frankly, Pat Culhane, if she had never run in that election, everything would be changed. Everything would be different. I'm sure of it, actually. And that's why it's unfair. We've had a lot of people have moved into this community from other areas that weren't here in 2018. There's a lot of different changes that could be made.
But isn't that for the next election to be decided? Not this one. I mean, we have, 18, 17 months left until the next election. And isn't that what the population of the city of Belleville will be able to do? And isn't it more prudent for us to fill this seat and try to get people involved in the next election? I mean, this has not been a good story for anybody at this point.
But you haven't helped that story, Warren.
Well,
you
it's my
not.
Job
you,
to you, talk you, about this.
Okay, I'm not saying that you don't talk about it, but you bring an array of guests on that suit the narrative you want to hear.
That's not true. I had the mayor on.
I know that. And I heard that.
I had Sean Kelly on the show.
I realize that.
So that is, out of the people I've had on the show, now including you, that's three of the four people that voted to not have this on.
Okay, Lauren, how many weeks has it been since the vote that you've asked me to be on the show? You have not asked me to be on your show until this article came out. And you know, that's your choice, and it doesn't matter to me. But I'm just saying to you, you asked me the explanation as to why I believed that 2020 was not comparable to 2018. You do not know how people would have voted if Councillor Culhane was not on that ballot. You just don't know that. And you don't know that Carol Feeney, who was beneath Tyler Alsop, would not have actually secured that seat.
Sure.
You cannot say that. And for us to turn around, in my view, and give it to Tyler Alsop and ignore Carol Feeney, I mean, it's just, to me, it didn't make sense. And I believe that, to me, you have a group of people on this committee who are well-known in the community. They're well-respected. And I think that they are prepared to do a great job. And I don't think that they need to be undermined. Wow. They have been asked to do a job, and that's what they're going to do. It might not be what everybody believes in or likes, but unfortunately, you don't get what you want all the time.
I don't think anybody, with respect, has questioned their ability to decipher and choose somebody. They're quite well-liked and knowledgeable individuals. So
they should never have been contacted then, Lauren, and tried to be talked out of sitting on the committee. And intimidated. That shouldn't happen.
Well, who did that?
Well, you know what? I don't need to give you names because I don't need to call people up publicly, but they know who they are.
Well, okay. Let me ask you, if we can get back to the scoring system, do you get points if you're a minority or a female?
There are additional points for that. But there are also additional points for those that maybe have sat on a committee, or maybe they were a past counselor, male or female. So there are all sorts of different ways that it's going to be scored. But mm-hmm. I mean, the point is, I think for the purpose of the article that you want to talk about, the point is nobody is excluded.
Okay.
And I think that's important.
Last time Mayor Panchak was on the show, he said maybe there is room for some negotiation or trying to compromise. Is this an issue that there can be some compromise, or is this simply a black and white issue?
Well, I'm not sure what he's referring to as compromising. I can only speak for how I feel about the situation. And, you know, if someone's going to ask me, am I going to change my mind? No, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm someone who has my own mind and often speak it, and I have no intention of changing my mind. I have no regrets. So, you know, whatever the compromises he is suggesting, well, then, you know, that's his to suggest, but he'll have to make that decision and discuss it with whoever he wants to discuss with.
When this comes to council, when does this come? Not tomorrow, or not Monday, but the following council meeting, right?
Well, I have to check on the date, because I mean, there is a deadline, and I believe it's the 22nd, so I'm believing there may be a special council meeting called for this particular purpose. But what bothers me in the whole process of this is the fact that we have had women state that they are worried about applying because a group of counselors are going to block whoever is brought forward by this committee. And I think that's unfortunate. And I hope that's not the case. But if it is, it's a huge disservice. And in my opinion, it's obstruction of city business. And, you know, I hope that anyone that has applied, you know, or hasn't applied, has not applied for that reason.
Do you see the other side of the story? Do you see why those other four councillors voted on the other side of this?
Okay, so they voted on the other side of this because of tradition. And, you know, there's a lot we can say about tradition, and I do say a lot about tradition. I'm just going to share a personal story with you about tradition and why I believe traditions need to be broken. My mother was one of 14 children and one of four girls, and they lived on a farm, 10 brothers. She was expected to stay home on the farm so her brothers could go to school and get an education. She was never able to get her high school education because of it. So were my grandparents malicious? No, they weren't. Was it fair? No, it wasn't. Was it tradition? Sure it was. That was the way things were then. One generation ago, that was the way things were. And it wasn't right. My mother will be 87 tomorrow. And, you know, I'm sure she had, in fact, I know she has regrets. But that, again, was not that my grandparents were terrible people. That was the way it always was back then.
Sure. And happy.
Now, and we don't break this glass ceiling now. But I could have been sitting there not getting an education.
The glass ceiling has been broken a long time ago. That we've had female mayors of the city. We've had you know, councils with multiple females on this council.
In some regards, it has been. But here we just sat and went through a nomination process for the Conservative Party of Canada, and this is the third time a woman has been denied a nomination. And that, I don't believe that is not on purpose. So, you know, something, has it really been broken? You know, maybe in some respects it has, but no, that mentality still exists out there. I've seen it myself. Today, my job is to fight for what is right. I have a daughter the same age, I think, as your daughter, mm-hmm. and she's watching this whole thing. And I hope by her generation, this never becomes an issue like it was for my mother's generation.
Well, and
this is an opportunity that's unprecedented. It's an unprecedented opportunity that the mayor has put forward. And you know something? I have no issue with that. It may not be the reason I voted against Tyler, because I have a mind of my own. But this is an opportunity for someone who may feel that they were intimidated by the process. Because quite frankly, when I ran in 2014, I was intimidated by the process. And as election night went on and it looked like I was losing, my fear began that I might win. And then I was scared. Because you know something? It is a difficult process and it is intimidating.
Well, sure. And there's a lot of responsibility. And that responsibility becomes at the fact that you and the other counselors and the mayor were elected to represent the people. And I guess I will leave you with this question, because this is the question that so many people have. Are you not listening to the people? Are you not obstructing what the voters want? I mean, I don't know what you have heard, and I'm sure I am clearly not denying anything that you've heard. I totally believe you and trust you on this, but from the so many calls and texts and emails we've gotten, we've only got one person who kind of is on your side here. So are you not obstructing or not listening to what the voters want? And isn't that the most important thing?
So who is the one person on my side you're referring to?
It was a caller that we had who agreed with bringing a woman in and so on and so forth.
To be honest with you, to make the statement that we're obstructing anything, anyone on that council who voted against Tyler Alsop obstructed anything.
It's really
disrespectful.
Okay, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Let me rephrase, if I may. What I think people are thinking then is that you're not listening to them as a whole. It's in the same way that the school board never listened when everybody got so mad about renaming Moira. People were furious. They thought their opinions fell on deaf ears. And I think that's what has people frustrated with this particular story, is that it seems to be falling on deaf ears. And people do have a connection to the story. And I think that's what has people so upset. So I'm not, maybe obstructing is the wrong word. I do apologize for that. But that's what I think people are thinking. And that's why they've connected. And that's why they're upset.
So, Lauren, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. The people have spoken. They spoke in 2014, and unfortunately they didn't elect Tyler. They spoke again in 2018, and they didn't elect him again. Has the landscape changed between 2018 and now? Yes, it has. It's really changed. And to sit and basically state that, you know, we're not listening to that. Well, you know what? Things are different now. Pat is gone. If Pat never was in that election, if she never ran for that seat, we don't know what the outcome would have been. So how can we say we are being unfair? It could have gone to Carol Feeney. It could have gone to Frances Bridget Muir. It could have gone to Paul Martin. Nobody knows what could have happened. That was 2 years ago. So to basically say that we're not listening, I am listening. I am listening. Loud and clear.
Councillor Kelly McCaw, your candor and your comments today, much appreciated. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I know we disagree with this subject, but that's what makes this great, that you can come on and talk about this. We can disagree and then move on and have a discussion. And that is what democracy is all about. So thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it today.
You're welcome.